Here we go.
This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If you can get Tampa and Toronto to face each other in the first round and knock each other off, and you get New Jersey, that's a good spot. It's a good spot for you to be. So I think it's worth going for, and feels like they're going to go for it. McAvoy comes back tonight.
I mean, that tells you plenty, right? If they were worried about it, him, I mean, there was no way they'd play him in this game.
Well, and the other Bruins item to me is sitting down Marchand and telling him to cool it, because he's pulling the same crap, and it's playoff time, and he could get suspended for the playoffs if he keeps it up. And so I think that's important. So all that on the table with your phones here, as promised. Longest order of wait to Tyron in Tennessee. Go ahead, Tyron, quickly.
Yeah, I tell you, on the Belichick-Brady power play, Murray, you're right on point, but I'm going to say this. I think it's feeding right into Belichick's hand, because I believe ever since Robert Kraft forced Belichick to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, I believe Belichick was done with him. I believe he was finished with him. I believe he's been conducting business that way. I thought he was off winning the AFC title game and Brady pulled him out the fire late. I thought he was off winning the Super Bowl. I think when they forced him to trade, which I believe Jimmy Garoppolo will be on Mount Rushmore when his career ends, and Belichick knew it. He spent this whole time developing, grooming him. The most important position, and Kraft intervened. That was Belichick's masterpiece, to go from Brady to Jimmy to 12 more years of dominance. And Kraft interfered, and I think Bill's done. So you know what? I think Bill wants out. I think he wants out. I believe the New York piece during the playoffs that came out with Gary Mines, I believe that Bill could have been out of contract.
Then how come he doesn't quit? Tyron, how come he doesn't quit?
Well, because he's owed one or two more years worth of money.
Good job, Tyron. Excellent. If you want to play that game that Bill wants out, then why not just quit? Because he's probably owed $12 million a year, and if you quit, you don't get your money. If you're fired, you get your money.
So, well, that's always the way to go.
If you believe that, if Bill wants out, why not just, that would be one reason not to do it.
I'll tell you, the whole
thing. And I don't believe that, but I think they are leveraging each other, and there's a power play going on. I think it's going to get resolved, but I think that little tug of war is real. I'm sorry?
I mean, the way this whole thing has shaken out, like for Belichick to be sort of in the spot he is now with the quarterback and the tight end, and at the same time, if he's up in a year, he's making the calls. Like, I don't like any of it. It does not feel good for the franchise.
Here's Chris in the car on Marchand. Go ahead, Chris.
Michael.
Yes, Chris.
I love your passion to discuss hockey, and I completely agree with you about Marchand with a cross-check to the face of McDonald. But you are way out of bounds with what happened in Florida. Did you watch what happened?
I did. Trocheck jumped in.
Trocheck jumped in to save that gutless number 3 overall pick,
Huberdeau,
yeah. Who's 6'1", 6'2", 210, and Marchand went after him after he jabbed him in the back of the legs. Trocheck jumps in to save. Trocheck's 5'9".
Okay, but you understand that Marchand was hitting him when Carlo was holding him up.
But it was good because Trocheck jumped in, so he threw a left. So what?
Well, what do you mean, so what?
My God, so what?
That's called a third man in.
Third man in? No! He went after Huberdeau. Trocheck was the third man in.
No, no.
What, are you kidding me?
Marchand originally went after Huberdeau. Trocheck jumped in. Carlo jumped Trocheck, and then Marchand started punching Trocheck.
Michael, who's the third man? If he engages Huberdeau, Huberdeau doesn't want anything to do with him. Got his gloves welded to his hands. Who's the third man in?
I understand that Huberdeau's a wuss. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Marchand putting him in a spot where he could have gotten rung up again by the refs in the league.
Listen, Huberdeau was the guy who came in, hit him high. Marchand didn't like it, gave him a little tap in the back, and then he jabbed him in the back of the legs. And Marchand turned around and said, "That's it. I'm going with you." I don't have a problem if a guy wants to go in, defend himself, and challenge a guy to a fight.
Oh, I know. But poor Brad. Yeah. He's just got to defend himself, because Lord knows he's not out to hurt anybody else. Again, go watch the play. It was awkward. And I've said this a million times. It was awkward, the way it all sort of went down. Marchand was engaged on one player. Trocheck came in, and then Marchand went after Trocheck, but it was at the point where Carlo was holding up Trocheck, which, if the ref wanted to be an a-hole, could have called Marchand for a third man. I'm not... Huberdeau's a wuss. What does that have to do with anything? The league and the refs look differently at Marchand. They look harder at Marchand, and they treat him unfairly, if it makes you feel better, as a Bruins honk. But that's just the reality of the situation. And Brad can't help himself. With the playoffs coming up and more suspensions looming, like, you just can't help yourself? Was it that bad? I have to go back and see what Huberdeau did. The Andrew McDonald check was not that bad. And You couldn't keep your cross check off the guy's nose?
I tell you, I wonder about Marchand, because I said to you earlier, if you're the Bruins, you got to talk to him before the playoffs. You got to say you can't get bounced here.
Cool it.
At the same time, how's his postseason been of late?
I just mentioned one goal in the last 18 postseason games.
One host aren't listening.
One goal in the last 18 postseason games.
So maybe he's got to, maybe in his head, he's got to be like that. He can't be normal if he's not being a dink.
He's too good. He's too good for that. It's something, it's some sort of impulse control that he can't control it. Brian in Salem on Gronkowski. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. So I kind of side with Gronk in terms of his frustration with Bill. Bill hasn't really made it clear how long he's in. So for Bill to question if Gronk's 100% in, doesn't that seem kind of hypocritical? And on top of that, he benched one of the starting players in the Super Bowl. How can you trust this guy? How can you put yourself 100% in if he might not start you and you know you're one of the best players on the team?
Okay, so that's a bad coaching decision. But has Bill ever done anything that would denote that he's not 100% in? I mean, has he, you know, is Bill the one talking about picking up the kids at practice, or is Bill the one?
I mean, do you count going to a Timberwolves game in Super Bowl week?
I don't. I don't think it was a great look. But
how about wasting draft picks on Navy players that really
okay,
don't do
so
much.
Again, that's Bill putting his own personal little things ahead of other things. That doesn't mean he's all in. He's always done that crap. He's always done crap like that. Or at least since he's won at a level and, you know, attained his status, he's done what he's wanted to play his own CD collection. He's done that. But he's not the one talking about picking up the kid at practice. He's not the one that's talking about going to the WWE. He's not the one talking to action movie stars about being a movie star. He's not the one, you know, filming his own documentary talking about you need to be all in and you need to ask yourself why you're doing this and who you're doing this for. He's not the one doing those things. That's Brady and Gronk.
Okay, but just because he's not talking about it doesn't mean he's not doing it.
Do you have any indication that he's that
I don't know. I mean, is he doing more speaking engagements than he did?
Is he?
I don't know.
You just pulled that question out of nowhere?
Pretty much. I heard a little rumbling.
Okay, so tell me what you know. Let's start with that. Don't just ask a question. Tell me what you know.
So I heard a little rumbling that maybe Bill's doing more speaking engagements now, some things that he might have turned down in the past.
Uh-huh.
And so I don't know. And the other thing is, all I'm saying is,
what else do you know?
That's all I know. That's it. But just because he's not talking about it doesn't mean he's not doing it too. Like, so these guys are dumb enough to talk about it publicly.
Well, dumb or they're smart, they're using it as leverage. This is their leverage play.
Yeah, I just
give us what we want or we're done.
So I just wonder, like I told you, I don't like the whole dynamic in Foxborough at the moment. I don't like it. The whole thing feels bad. Okay, the quarterback's leveraging the coach. The tight end and the quarterback are leveraging the coach. The coach feels like he's out in a year, and I don't know, he's got multiple years left on his contract, right? Maybe the deal was, give me one more and we'll pay it for the two. I don't know. I don't know what the arrangement is, but I have... Like, the idea of... Bill loves to say all the time that he, you know, he's taking it more seriously than everybody else. Is he? Because if he is, then why is Malcolm Butler on the sideline in the Super Bowl? And why is he trading Jamie Collins for a third-round pick? Or Jimmy Garoppolo for a second? Like, Bill will always, you know... And listen, at the end of the day, I think Bill's going to hold his ground on this. But Bill loves to point out how nobody, you know, he's always doing it in the best interest of the team, when the reality is he's doing it in the best interest of Bill.
Yeah, he does. But I think that's, and it's a failing, but it's consistent. I don't feel like that's gotten any worse.
See, but he's the boss. To me, that's the bottom line, is it doesn't matter if he's all in, because the only guy to call him on it is the owner. And if the owner's willing to let him get away with it, then Bill can do whatever he wants. Like, whether he's all in or not, in his mind, if Gronk isn't all in, he can hold it against Gronk. That, you know, this is the danger of having one guy in charge of everything, is that if it gets to a point where he wants to hold a grudge against Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl, he can do it, and no one's going to hold it against him.
What's the fix? What does Bill do? Again, I thought Curran wrote it well on NBC Sports Boston. He says, if you're Bill Belichick and watching this offseason of indiscreet discontent, and you're thinking to yourself, what's my move here? Do I throw Gronk another pile of incentives to sweeten up his contract to get him to dumb up for a while? Does Brady want more money too? I can knock his cap down. But then you remember you're Bill Belichick, and that's the opposite of what you normally do. So you think about trading Gronk, because that's usually what you do. Then you think about the further fallout that would create with the quarterback.
Brady would be pissed.
And the fact that...
Oh, he'd be pissed.
And the fact that, Curran writes, if Gronk is already babbling about retirement, he isn't going to report to whatever godforsaken outpost you ship him to. Which is true. He's not Cleveland. But, he's not going to report.
But that's why Gronk took the tact he did to eliminate the trade possibility.
And you realize that if Brady is already waffling about his future, why would you extend him past 2019 and give him more money? To save money against a cap that really isn't even an issue right now? So what do you do?
Well, the Bill Gronk thing over the trade's a game of chicken, right? Well, I'm going to threaten to retire so you can't trade me. I'm going to trade you anyway. There's interest in you.
The what crafts you, won't allow it.
If I trade you, you're going to retire?
I'm with you.
They won't allow it because of the quarterback, because Brady will leave.
And again, Seth Wickersham apparently is working on another piece at ESPN. So on it goes. We continue with your thoughts after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-coupon. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Belichick is a little bit frustrated because he has cited things to people close to him as nuanced as an Instagram post that Gronkowski posted about Danny Amendola signing with the Miami Dolphins, under which he said, be free, be happy.
I don't like Gronk's Instagram posts. The one he sent to Danny I hate the most. The one that said, be free and be happy. You and Tom don't like how I run this team? Then why don't you and that diva pick up and leave? Be free. And be happy. Be free and happy now.
Yes, Murray, give us more.
You think I won't trade your ass? I don't care. I have balls made of brass. Be free. Be happy. You say you want to wrestle in the WWE? I hope you go and tear up your knee. Be free. Be happy. Be free and happy now.
You just do that all day, couldn't you?
No, I mean, you pick a song. It's fun to sing as Belichick.
How many lyrics did you write?
I mean, those other ones I just wrote a couple of minutes ago.
I'm telling you, Murray's a lyricist.
Tremendous. All right, that on the table. Celtics rumors on the table. Everything going on here. Bruins tonight. Andrew and Quincy's been holding, in fact, to talk some Bruins. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, how you doing, boys?
Good, Andrew. What do you got?
So first of all, I want to say, as long as Marshawn doesn't act like a boob, I think he'll be fine. You know, as long as he hones that in the right way and puts it towards his play, and we need him more than anything, I think he should just calm down until the playoffs, number one. And number two, I want to let you guys know that I think Nash and Gianta are an underrated trade, and I think they're the veteran presence we need to get through the next level, just like Krejci was in 2011.
Okay, so Nash, I'll give you. Hugely important guy for you. And he's back on the ice in Boston, which is huge. You know, that scare that DuPont gave us a couple weeks ago about as he played his last game as a Bruin, like the concussion would be so severe that he's in dark rooms and can't, you know, he's just incapacitated. Well, he's back skating, which is the first step, which I think, you know, good sign. So Rick Nash, yes, yes, yes. Gianta, I'm sorry. If he plays a lot, you're probably in trouble. And I say that, you know, he's, you know, good for him. He's scrapped it together at the end of his career, but I don't know. Murray, can you do me a favor?
Yeah, what are you looking for?
When's the last time he had a point? I think he's something like 11 straight without a point or something.
Is it that many now already?
They mentioned it the other day on the broadcast at 9, and I'm just guessing 11 unless he picked up a point here in the last day or two. But he's done next to nothing for a while. He's like, he's just there. I'm sorry, he's just there. If you get, you know, if you run
it. He had a point in that last game he played on St. Patrick's Day.
He did. Last game he played, St. Patty's Day. So
against Tampa, he had an assist.
Okay, I don't even remember what it was. He didn't score over the week. He's just, to me, is that 1 point in like his last 12 games, something like this? I just don't feel like he makes an impact at all.
I mean, to me, he's a depth guy.
Like, depth. If someone gets hurt or your power play, you know, something like that, fine.
I mean, he's not gonna be in the, you know, the first four lines if they're all healthy.
No.
right? Because Donato will be out there. Nash, in fact, among DeBruskheinen and Donato, one of those guys is going to sit.
Correct.
To me, it feels like Junta will be the right guy if, I don't know, someone goes down on that fourth line.
Two guys.
So again, keeping in mind that his last game was on the 17th. In March, he had 5 points overall, 2 goals, 3 assists.
Okay, but do you have his game log in front of you?
Yeah.
In his last 10. And he didn't play in Philadelphia or against Florida? He was out those 2 games?
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing him on the ice in a while.
So to me, he's a secondary consideration. Brian in Maryland has a baseball thought from Ask. Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you, guys. Hey, Tony, I was just curious if Stanton is going to be your new Teixeira.
Worse.
Yeah, no question it's worse.
Oh, yeah, he'll be worse. No question is right.
And Teixeira was one title in 8 years or something?
Something like that, yeah.
Well, why do you get so excited about that? You're like a poodle chasing a shiny object.
I like shiny objects. In this case, Giancarlo Stanton just struck out with men on first and third, and then Gregorius came up and hit one into the seats. So they get their 3 runs anyway. I'm telling you, this Yankee lineup, terrifying to pitch to in that ballpark. Terrifying. And it's all because of you-know-who now in the middle of the lineup.
Who? Giancarlo. Mitch in New Hampshire. Mitch, go ahead. You're up next on the Celtics.
Hey, guys. Yeah, so my thought is we all agree that either Leonard or Davis would help the lineup and have the Celtics go to a championship. My question is, for a deal that they do for either Leonard or Davis, does it depend on who they think is the next guy? Like, if they think that Jaylen Brown's the next guy, are they not going to trade him if the Spurs stick on wanting him in the trade, or vice versa with Jaylen Brown?
So, to me it's dependent, right? If they value Davis more, they'd say, well, we'll give up Tatum in that one. But for Kawhi Leonard, no Tatum. You can get Brown, but not Tatum. If they view it that, that's why it looks from the outside, right? That Tatum feels like a better prospect than Brown, although I'm still not sure of that. I still might go Brown. I think it would be dependent on the player that you're talking about.
For sure.
I doubt that they'd want to give up both in the same deal. Like if Anthony Davis Tatum and Brown.
No way.
And that Sacramento pick, I just don't think you're doing
no
that.
No way. You're getting one player and a high pick. Maybe two picks, high picks for Davis. But for Leonard, you're not getting two high picks plus a player. That's too much for a guy who's got a year left. Too much.
617-779-0985. Open line if you want to grab it. Jack in Brockton on the Pats. Hi, Jack.
Hey, gents. How you doing?
Good.
I saw an article today. Teddy Bruschi and Junior Seau, after a game against Baltimore that they won, they improved to 12-0. I don't know how many years ago this was. Teddy said that Bill took the two of them into the locker room and tore him a new one because they missed a play or two on their reads.
Yep.
So my question to you guys is, why is this coming out now? I think they're joining the queue.
The players have gotten soft, and I saw this.
they're joining the queue. Who's bringing the potato salad? We're going to have ourselves a good old queue.
So I want St. Louis style ribs.
This is Matthew in Framingham said that what we're seeing right now with the Patriots is a palace queue.
He said a mutiny and then a queue.
A queue. It's a queue. He meant to say coup, a coup d'etat. He said queue as in pool queue or queuing up for whatever.
It's a revolution.
So he's saying this is part of the queue. I saw that clip for Bruschi. It was good. Bruschi's really good about it. He says, the whole thing about Bill is he will rip you, and it doesn't matter who you are in that film room and in that team meeting. And Bruschi said, this was after that Baltimore game, the Rex Ryan game when he called the timeout.
Sure, I remember, 27-24.
Bart's got through the flag and all of that, and they just pulled it out to go 12-0. And Bruschi says, yeah, we're 12-0. We're 12-0. And Bill calls the team together the next day and puts on one play, where Junior and I have the wrong read and we make it together. And we both take a step right when we should be making a step left. And the running back gets through the hole and has a good gain. And we both had the wrong read. And he said, Bill, at 12-0, with Teddy Bruschi and Junior Seau, one Hall of Famer and one guy that's,
that he called the perfect football player.
They called the perfect in their, decorated veterans. He said, Bill, all he did was stop and start the tape, almost like a dance routine, just showing that false step. Like Junior and Bruschi, just wrong step back, and going back and forth and back and forth. It was a good story by Bruschi. I liked it. And the whole point is, this is what Bill does. And now Tommy and Gronk can't handle it. Now Tommy and Gronk want sort of different. It's
well, Tom is living in the age of enlightenment now.
The high-strung culture is too much. The mental fatigue that Gronk talked about. And you're right. Brady just likes to keep things positive, Jim. He doesn't want to hear about negative plays in the film. So this is about the players. It's not about Bill.
So didn't Bruschi also say, though, that once you start messing with the trainer, then he'd get agitated?
Yes, he did. He did say in that same spot that don't mess. You may think the guys, and Max Kellerman or someone brought up the fact that this Alex Guerrero is a snake oil salesman, is a charlatan, which is true.
I think it was Stephen A., yeah.
Or someone, right? And Bruschi said, I don't care. If I think that the guy gets me right and the guy puts me in the best position and feel right on the field, I don't care what you think of him. I need him to be right and get on the field. Don't mess with that.
So right, yes, now you're messing. Now you're messing with how I prepare.
That's right.
Right, and so look, I don't know. Maybe Bruschi's walking the line there, right? Gives one to Bill, so he gives one to Tom.
Bruschi's good, though. I'll just say, I thought his spot yesterday, I watched it, was good. It was informative on both sides of it.
So maybe he just doesn't want to pick a side because it feels like he's sort of walking the line there, right?
Yes.
Give one to each of them, and that's it. So I mean, he's still got a job to do, so he's not going to totally, destroy either one of those guys and keep the lines of communication open. But I don't know how Bill can give in here and still coach the same way. I don't think it's possible for him to say, okay, fine, you guys, you can have your trainer, you can have your money, let's go. No way, because the rest of the team will look at him and say, well, he gave in to those guys.
Thus the cue. And those two players know that they can push him out because he would have lost all his power, and another football decision would be made when the crafts go over his head, because they had to do it with Jimmy Garoppolo the first time. He didn't want to trade him, so they forced him to trade him, and now they're going to bring Brady in. Well, obviously Brady's going to come back, but part of that is getting Gronk back in the fold. They have to rework the deal, give him more money, and they go over when Bill wants to trade the player. So you do this to me again, I'm out.
I can't believe they're in the middle of this.
Thus the cue.
I can't believe that they are in the middle of this thing, really. Like, the fact that it's reached this point, again, I hate the whole dynamic. If it were anybody other than Brady and Belichick, I'd tell them to pull the plug on the whole thing and start over. Like, because you now have a coach who feels like he's got one foot out the door making decisions on a quarterback that you've already invested in for 2 or 3 years because he traded the other guy. What a stink bomb. What a mess.
We've got more of it coming up after Murray's update, so don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Nash wins the draw. Puck goes to the end boards. Crashing in is Kunitz and Holden. And the horn will sound. The tempers are still flaring. But when you look at the standings tomorrow, the team at the top of the Eastern Conference, the top of the Atlantic Division, will read Boston Bruins. And listen to the crowd here at TD Garden. Salute the effort from the boys in black and gold. Your final here. Bruins 4 and the Lightning 2. The Bruins have won all three meetings against the Lightning this year.
Puck drop at 7:30. Pre-game at 7. Want to watch or listen to Celtics. Celtics are on WZLX tonight, correct?
That is correct.
8 o'clock tip in Milwaukee if you're watching on TV. NBC Sports Boston, of course, has a Celtics night. Should be a good night. Good night of TV viewing. Who do you like in the Bruins game, Az?
I like Tampa tonight.
Why?
They need the game. They have to have the game. And I know they're without Stamkos. But they got to have this game. I just can't. Sooner or later, they got to show something. They're too good not to.
How many times have we said the Bruins are due?
A lot.
every time, every night.
Seriously, a lot. I mean, again, ultimately, would it surprise me if the Bruins won? Of course not. I always go for the more desperate team thing. And in this case, Tampa's got to get this game. The way last week went on top of it, I don't know. I just feel like it's a big night for Kucherov. That's all.
But what about the way the Bruins have pushed this team around the last two games that they played?
So, Murray, I can't tell you anything you're saying is wrong. I'm not telling you that. Again, the Bruins, to me, have been the most positive story in town for the last 3 or 4 months. Off the charts.
This is why we've had a hard time getting our hands around it.
Oh, my gosh. It's just such a likable team. They're young. They're fast. They're skilled. They're relentless. They win every night. The whole thing, what's not to like? And so the coach pushes buttons, but he doesn't go too far. It's like they've struck this perfect balance. They score in the power play. They kill penalties. They win 5-on-5. What's not to like? There's no holes, for crying out loud. But they're going to lose tonight.
All right. Listen to it here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Again, the Bruins are on Nesson Plus, which is aggravating to Bruins fans, getting the short shrift. Being
it's like standard definition television.
Treated like a second-class citizen. We even heard reports that it's standard def. It's not standard def, is it?
It looks like it.
Does it really?
It's very poor.
But what's the def? What's the def? Either it's high def or it's not. I don't get it.
Yeah, it comes out pixelated on my television.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, Fell Guy.
And there are audio issues, too.
The last time they were on Plus, I had to watch it with rabbit ears.
So that's the situation this evening. Back to your calls. Rob in East Boston on the Celts. Hi, Rob.
Hey, what's up, Fell Guy? What's up, Big Jim? I'm just sitting here at Santox waiting for my pine. I just can't stop thinking about Marcus Smart. I miss the guy. I don't know. Life sucks without Marcus Smart when he's not playing the heart and soul of the Celtics. That's all I want to say. And please don't have Matt Zardotti talk after me, after you guys hang up on me. I don't like that guy.
Okay. I understood about half of what he said.
He was at Santarpio's in East Boston waiting for his large cheese pizza, which is quite delicious, and he misses Marcus Smart, and he doesn't want Maz talking after the phone call.
I'm not saying anything. I don't know what he's talking about. I think that felt like a phony to me.
We've got, you just want to say Santapios.
Here's phony. It's a phony.
Billy in Lakeville on the Pats. Hi, Billy.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Murray. This is Bill. Guess what? You got rid of Grappo, and I think I'm going to screw your organization for the next 2 years, because the hell with Brady, and the hell, and Gronk will play wrestling with Ric Flair. How's that? We're going to get, I'm going to really get you back. How's that, Mr. Kraft? What do you think of that, huh?
It's the imitation hour.
He was trying to do Belichick. He doesn't quite do it as well.
And what does anyone do when anyone shouts out Ric Flair? They go, woo.
I love the sniffling.
Okay, let's see if we can finish strong here. Brett in New Hampshire on the Celtics. Go ahead, Brett.
Hey, guys, I got two things for you.
Not doing it. That phone. Talking to your phone, Brett.
Hello?
Talking to your phone, please.
Okay. Hey, guys, I got two things for you for the Celtics. First is DeMarcus Cousins. How the Celtics, I don't know how they didn't get him, how the Pelicans got him for such cheap of a price, and now he's going to be a free agent this year. I feel like they got to try to get rid of Horford maybe in the offseason if they can get DeMarcus Cousins. Second of all, Anthony Davis. I don't think the Pelicans are going to trade Anthony Davis unless they get DeMarcus Cousins in free agency. And I feel like they need to get rid of, they'll have to try to get rid of Hayward.
I don't get it. The Pelicans aren't going to keep Anthony Davis. I think DeMarcus Cousins in free agency, so they have to re-sign him. And then, so if they don't re-sign DeMarcus Cousins, they're getting rid of Anthony Davis?
No, I think he's saying the other way, that they wouldn't. There's no way they would trade Davis unless they got Cousins effectively to replace him. But don't you think it's the opposite? That Davis is less likely to be moved if he's got Cousins alongside, and now they're making some noise?
I just don't know what the conditions are down there under which they would trade him. If he's available, the question is that we've talked about today, Kawhi Leonard. If Kawhi Leonard is available first, and he's quote-unquote affordable, meaning you have to keep most of your core pieces and you can get Kawhi Leonard, but that would preclude you from getting Anthony Davis, would you do it?
No.
Would you do it?
No, I want Davis first. But I'm telling you, I think the Celtics would do it. I told you, Ainge to have five wing players out there who can go to the basket and make threes, he would take his pants off in the film sessions of that team. Be like watching porn for him.
Michael in Medford, hi.
Hi. Belichick. He always did his thing his way 17 years with great success. What he shouldn't have done was give Guerrero access to the training room. What did he think? No good could come out of that. Of course he was going to start rumors and saying he was better than everybody else and blah, blah, blah. I think that Belichick only did it because it made the exception to the rule because he was seeing Brady maybe get one more year and I get my Garoppolo.
No. Well, Michael, here, let me just stop you. And thanks for the call. I bet Bill regrets ever giving Guerrero access in the first place.
Oh, there's no question he regrets it.
You know, not only did he give him access, team plane, sideline, placed right off the room there, I guess, at Gillette. He also shared medical information on the players. Like, apparently, again, according to Seth Wickersham, he sat in on the meetings with the doctors and whatnot, so Alex knew exactly what was going on so he was really in there. And then he started advising players not to follow the team recommendations and that they weren't training you properly and they weren't giving you the right advice. And so he started to undermine the whole thing. And so Bill pulled it back. And I bet Bill probably says to himself, well, I never should have let him in the first place.
Again, oh, definitely. It's definitely what he says, because it went too far. And you know, I'm surprised that he ever did. Belichick, you know, for as smart as he is, that's a really dumb move.
It's not dumb. It's giving a special consideration to a special player. Happens all the time. Even Bill does it.
Yeah.
So if Brady wants something that feels innocuous, you do it.
Yeah, that one doesn't feel innocuous, though. That's the thing, is going in, you have to know that. You have to know that it's going to create a set of problems one way or the other. Either you are going to get other players chirping about it, and that you might be able to get away with, because Belichick can look at it and say, no, we let Tom do it because he's Tom. That's it. He's the only one. But the bigger problem is that, you know, as you get deeper into this thing with Guerrero, then all of a sudden he starts winning over other players, and now he starts undermining your medical staff.
So definitely that's Bill's regret. Not that he kicked him out, that he ever let him in the first place.
Never should have let him in.
Keith in Seabrook, what do you got?
Yeah, you guys talked a lot about how if, you know, Brady retires, that would, you know, all of a sudden be like the all-time jerk move. But what he's doing right now is, to me, almost as bad. I feel like he's almost morally obligated to help this team out and, you know, give him some type of team-friendly deal here. I know he's done it for almost two decades, but now you help force out the backup, and you're going to play hardball with your contract. It puts the team in just a terrible position.
So, Keith, let me tell you, they don't need to restructure his contract. You know, and Tom Curran pointed this out, and it should have come to me earlier. They don't really need the cap space. I mean, if they wanted to sign someone really expensive in free agency, then yes, 3 weeks ago, they would have needed it. But free agency's come and gone. All the big ticket items are off the table. What do they need to spend on? What is there left to spend on?
Well, Gronk.
Okay, well, they have $10 million in space. Gronk's not going to get $10 extra million. He might get $3. So you have the room for Gronk, whether Brady restructures or not. You have the room for whatever you need, whether Brady restructures or not. At this point, I'm not restructuring.
Okay, but I'll tell you what. Take the team's need out of it. What if they went to him and he said no?
Okay. All that being said, whether they need the room or not, I agree with the general principle of what the caller just said. Yep, Brady should be helping the team out in whatever way that is, because they traded the next guy. The owner stepped in on Brady's behalf, and they traded the next guy, largely because you said you were still all in, committed to 45 years old, TB12 method all the way, you have all the answers. Now if you show up and do anything short of that after they trade the guy, jerk move.
Okay, but do you understand that?
Bait and switch.
Now, look, I told you, I think it would be the king dink move of all time. Richard the First, right there, Tom Brady. That's how I would look at it. But don't you think from his perspective, he's arguing the opposite? In other words, well, Tom, now you owe us, you know, two more years. At least three. Brady says, owe you? You know how many pay cuts I've taken? And half the time you didn't even spend the money? We're even. You trading Garoppolo? Was you paying me, not the other way around. You've got it ass backwards. I don't owe you anything. You owed me. That's why you trade Garoppolo.
But I think he does. I think he does owe
him. I'm just telling you, what if he looks at it that way, though?
Oh, he might. He's wrong. You can't pound your chest for years saying you play to 45 and then retire at 41. Whoops. Just kidding.
Yeah, but you also can't say at the beginning of Tom versus Time, what are you willing to do? I'm willing to give up my life. And then the last episode say,
this is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm really into it.
This is exactly what I'm saying.
That's so don't be shocked.
It's a jerk move.
Yeah, and fans would get over it in a month because they'll ultimately side with the player for everything that he's accomplished here.
What do you mean they would get over it? They would get over it if Brady walked away?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I don't know about that, Mike.
They'd get over it if Brady walked away?
Yeah.
What?
For everything that he has accomplished here, Mike, they'd be mad for like a month.
Oh, no, they'd be pissed. They'd be pissed at the team. They'd be pissed at the world. They'd be pissed at Brady.
They'd be pissed at Bill because Bill forced him out, because that's ultimately what would make him walk away prematurely.
I don't think it's that simple. I think there'd be a lot of anger toward a lot of people, including the owner.
And so, you know what? I can't predict how fans would feel. I think it would be, look, that would be the all-time, again, Richard the First.
So when you say he owes them, I'm with you 100%. And with everything, with his whole TB12 method, it would almost be counterintuitive to walk away now when you say you're going to try to play to 45.
Right.
But I never in my wildest dreams, after that series on Facebook started off with, what are you willing to do, Jimmy Garoppolo? Are you really, really willing to outwork me? Because I'm willing to ignore my whole family to keep playing. And then in the last episode,
I don't know. I'm really into it anymore. It's... kind of hate the boss. I'm thinking of walking.
I never thought that would have happened. So as much as I think he would still be here for three more years, I'm kind of not going to be shocked if he says, yeah, I hate Bill, so I'm going to walk.
Okay, we have breaking news for you,
folks. It is one of the great U-turns of all time. Go, go, I want it.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This is per Adam Schefter.
Yeah! Oh, Patriots are trading wide receiver Brandon Cooks. Get out! And a fourth-round draft pick to the L.A. Rams for the 23rd overall pick in the first round of the 2018 NFL Draft and a sixth-round pick. See you later, Brandon Cooks. You're overrated over 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Would you please repeat the trade?
Adam Schefter, ESPN, blue checkmark. The Patriots are trading wide receiver Brandon Cooks in a fourth-round pick to the Los Angeles Rams for the 23rd overall pick in the first round of the 2018 NFL Draft and a sixth-round pick. League sources tell ESPN.
Cooks for the 23rd overall pick in the first round.
I like it.
It's a great trade.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it a lot.
I mean, what did they give up to get him last year? 31?
Yes. And by the way, I liked Brandon Cooks, and I told you I think Brandon Cooks is going to be better. Would have been better next year for you than he was the year before.
Don't you see the other obvious thing that's happening here?
But that's good value.
Getting rid of all of Brady's weapons?
Nope.
No, they're setting up, they're drafting a quarterback.
No, they're going to use those two first-round picks for Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham was supposed to go to the L.A. Rams. And now they don't have their first round pick.
I will eat your hat if they do that.
I got a whole bunch of them. I can season it right up for you.
What if it's Beckham for Gronk?
Oh my God! Please stop. My head's spinning. I'm with Mike initially. I think that they're going to take a quarterback. That's what I take out of it. They moved up to 23 in the first round. They're going to take a quarterback.
I think it's ammo for a quarterback. But who knows?
I'm not surprised by this, that they move Cooks. I'm not surprised at all.
So, again, just let me gather my thoughts. I like the trade because I think that's good value for him. He had 1 year left on his contract.
Correct.
He had 1 year left. So, the L.A. just gave up a first-round pick for a guy with 1 year. You gave up a first-round pick last year for 2 years, which was pushing it, I thought. And I didn't love it last year when you made that trade. Because why didn't he need a downfield receiver and he's only got 2 years of team control? So I didn't love that last year. So now he's got 1 year of team control and someone gives you a first round pick for a guy who's got a year left. That's great value. Okay, that being said, I think he was going to be better for you next year than he was last year. So, you know, Brady's lost another weapon. You're right.
I mean, again, just go right down the list right now from last year's team. Right now, if you count Gronk. No Gronk, no Cooks, no Amendola, and Edelman coming off a knee injury. I mean, like, why not just wipe out the whole receiving core, for crying out loud? So, now look, Edelman's coming back, and maybe Gronk's not gone, and maybe this tells you something about Gronk, too. Maybe Belichick knows that Gronk's coming back, because otherwise, why would he trade Cooks on top of it? So, look, I mean, this is obviously only part of the picture. I don't mind them losing Cooks at all. I don't.
No, me either.
I mean, to me, he didn't fit with them. You know, there was one or two plays or games during the course of the year that I thought, okay.
I thought one of them was the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, when he still dropped a big pass.
He did. But you know me. Look, I thought Cooks was going to be better next year. But, his big calling card is stretching the defense, and I could give two poops about that. I think you've proven you don't need the stretch-the-field guy to score a lot of points here with Tom Brady. So, I think that is tremendous value for a guy who was a disappointment and only had 1 year left on his contract to begin with. That's like a steal to get a first-round pick.
When did Ben Volen start writing?
Okay, so can I just give you a media scoreboard? You know, good for Ben Volen.
Because there's a little bit of a follow-up here from Adam Schefter. The Patriots and Rams have discussed a potential Brandon Cooks trade for over a month. Before the Rams and Giants discussed a potential Odell Beckham Jr. trade, the Rams like this situation better.
Volen proposed this over a month ago, saying, well over a month ago, that, you know, a release or a trade or, you know, that Cooks may not be long for this team and probably shouldn't be. And Volen got dumped on, and he was right. So I always like it when someone sticks their neck out and is right. Okay, so Volen deserves scoring for Volen on that one. Trolling Volen with the W, with a big fat W.
The Rams are loaded.
But that's just a media thing. For the Patriots, what value? I can't believe. The guy's got 1 year left on his contract. If you like him so much, keep your first-round pick and just pay him as a free agent next year. Like, that's stupid if you're the Rams, don't you think? I mean, I know they got to load up and they're in L.A. and all this, but holy moly, they're putting a lot of eggs in their basket this year.
Yeah, especially for that guy. I mean, I just don't think he's worth it. I don't know if I'd give up a first rounder for any receiver on a 1 year deal.
Right,
look
exactly.
At the moves they've done: Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, and Ndamukong Suh, Brandon Cooks. All those, all their chips are in the middle for next year. My God.
So now you're sitting at number 23 and number 31.
Yeah.
So the first round just got more interesting. I think that's ammo for a quarterback. It's still not enough to move up. I mean, you're still not talking about...
I mean, Baker Mayfield may be there at 23.
Oh, you think? I thought he was going to go in the top five.
No. He'll be in the probably teens.
You think he's going to be in the teens now? Wait a minute. I thought he was...
Can you get to 10 with those two picks?
I don't know. Pull up your draft value chart. I don't think so. Can you go from 23 and 31 to 10? I don't think so.
Probably not.
But that's just, I'm guessing. I don't know.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.